Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
I've entitled this message, Act Different, and the beginning of a five-week series on leadership from the story, from the life of David, rather. I use this picture because long before Apple had the rainbow color in their logo, and long before the Pride Parade had the rainbow as their logo, it was a Christian thing. It was a sign telling people about their covenant with God. Now, for leaders, this is also a sign. Before you can become a good leader, you must first become a good follower. That's the story of David. David, before he became a leader, was a follower. And there is no better picture to understand it than the leader he was following. When we understand who this leader is and we understand how to follow him, we become the kind of leader that he is. Psalm 23 is one of the most famous Psalms of David. And yet, a lot of people don't realize that that psalm is a picture of leadership. We find in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. He is his leader. And as such a result, he lacks nothing. When God leads you, you lack nothing. By the way, this is probably the first most important part of leadership that differentiates God and our kind of leadership from the world's leadership. We provide leadership that starts with satisfying people. Satisfying David was God's first agenda. My friend Stephen Mansfield once wrote an interesting book called The Search for God and Guinness. Believe it or not, this is not the book of Guinness Book of World Records. This is actually God and Guinness beer. Many people don't realize that historically, beer has been around longer than we could imagine, all the way back to the days of Egypt. In fact, a lot of people don't realize that beer has its roots in Christianity, of all places. The best brewmasters were priests and monks, no less than Martin Luther was a very good brewmaster in Germany. Now, a lot of people don't even know this, that back in the days, water was actually more dangerous to drink than beer. Because to make beer, you had to boil the water and the alcohol killed a lot of the germs. Thus, the people who were the early pilgrims who went to the New World actually had tons of beer on board. The Mayflower, which consisted of a lot of Christians, also had tons of beer on board because that was the only way they could survive. Now, I'm not here to talk to you about the history of beer. I'm here to talk to you about Guinness. Founded in 1759, the company now is 262 years old. The founder, whose name is Arthur Guinness, was a Christian, a very staunch believer in Christ. But the reason why he was so successful to this day was because of his generosity. More than just being generous towards other people and poor people, he was primarily generous to his employees. He blessed them. In fact, people have computed that his generosity back in those days were far more generous than what Google and Apple provide their employees today. This is the legacy of this leader. Psalm 23 verse 2 continues, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Notice how God's leadership is so different from the world's leadership. He begins with satisfying you and actually wants to make you lie down in green pastures. Just like Arthur Guinness, the Lord knows that God, you have to create an environment. And God creates an environment first of security where people feel secure and there's a sense of sustainability and thus are the seeds for success. The starting point of God is starts with satisfying you. How many leaders do you know are like that? Is that you? If you're going to become a leader, whether that's your family, your wife, your children, or the people around you in your business, you need to understand it starts with satisfying others. In Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3, it says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Notice how God provides us with benefits the same way an employer does. But watch the fundamental difference with the benefits that God provides us. He forgives us all our sins, our inadequacies. One of the marks of a great leader is not just someone who gives you satisfaction, but the one who's actually willing to overlook some of your inadequacies. Great bosses and great supervisors know that some people are raw and young and inexperienced and probably not capable of getting there. That was David. He was young, inexperienced, poor, and God saw the potential. Do you tend to focus on the mistakes of others? Can you see beyond the limitations of the present circumstance? Are you able to discern potential? One of the most important things about a leader are these three questions right here. Do you focus on just the errors? You might actually fire the wrong guy. Saul did. And a lot of bosses who fired the wrong guy who ended up replacing them because they made a mistake. They couldn't see beyond the limitations and they're not able to discern the potential. God is an amazing leader. He begins by overlooking your inadequacies and he heals all your diseases. He not only forgives, he actually makes you whole. One of the goals of a leader is to make people whole. God is a smart boss. He knows that if you want to get the best out of people, create a program not just of physical checkups, but of regular checkups of taking care of them and making them whole. Because once you provide that, the spiritual, the relational, the physical, and even the financial, you will have very productive people around you. Verse 5 says, who satisfies your desires with good things. Notice how God leads. He satisfies your desires with not just the basics. Too many leaders and employers just provide the basics. God nourishes completely. Why? He knows that if he does that, he will produce eagles, that your youth will be renewed like the eagle. That's the goal of leadership, to provide young eaglets to become eagles that can soar. I'm reminded of a story of a farmer who found some eagle eggs, and some of the eagles were birthed, but one wouldn't give birth, afraid that the mother eagle had died, that the egg would one day be eaten by a snake or another or a wolf or somebody. He brought the egg into a farm and put it among chickens. One day, this little bird became an eagle amongst a lot of chickens. And he once thought that he was just another chicken. Now, there's a lot of versions to this story, but the point is this. God wants to nourish you completely and not just keep you in a poultry. Chickens live for 8 weeks to about 16 weeks. Eagles live for 30 years, know how to hunt and know how to fly. But make no mistake about it, there's a culture. There's a way to raise eagles. And that's what God knows how to do. He says, he leads me beside quiet waters, back to Psalm 23. This is God's leadership style. He just starts with satisfying you. He overlooks your inadequacies. He makes you whole. He nourishes you completely because he's about to lead you by guiding you. The verse says, he leads you beside quiet waters. When you watch a shepherd in Israel or elsewhere, I've seen them in Turkey as well, you watch them follow their sheep, their shepherd rather, because they know he is their leader. And a lot of times, the reason why they follow is because they know at some point he's going to give them a break. He's going to refresh them. That's what leaders do. It's not just driving people, it's leading people. It's not just leading people, it's guiding people to a path where they can be refreshed. Good leaders know that he guides you rightly. That's how God is. He guided David rightly. He guides you and I rightly. And that's what leaders do. They don't just drive you. They guide you into the right place. He leads me beside quiet waters and he refreshes my soul. The greatest thing a leader can do is refresh the people around him. Sometimes we get the best results out of people when we refresh them. Now, make no mistake about it. It's not about drinking beer or bringing them up, maybe sometimes. But more importantly, it's one-on-one. The best refreshing is when you're willing to take a staff member, a friend, a son, a wife, somebody who is following you aside and refresh them. Because, you know, a lot of that says a lot. It says a lot more than just giving them money. It says you genuinely are concerned. I usually put a time slot to when I meet with staff members one-on-one, 90 minutes. I want to send them a message that I do care and I do want them refreshed and I do want to carry some of those burdens. Good leadership starts with leading people beside quiet waters and refreshing. It's very counterintuitive to the world's way of leadership. He guides them along the path. You've ever heard companies say that we have a career path for you? God has. Good leaders have career paths for the people. It's not just so they can use them, so they can better their own path. They create, literally carve out paths for them. Good leaders are the ones who are concerned about your success and your honor and not just theirs. Which, by the way, leaders, if you're going to understand something, when your people are successful, you will be successful. That's common sense. And that's how God works. He guides me along the right path for His namesake. This could be a misunderstood verse here. A lot of people think that you do this for your namesake. What that really means is a boss who takes credit for success and blames people for all their failures is really not the God we serve. In this world we live in, bosses take for the successes and their reputation gets improved. While when there's a failure, it's their people that get blamed for it. This is not the God we serve. The God we serve is the opposite. He's the God who says, I will take the blame. I will take the pain for you. This is sound leadership. Good leadership that will create sound followers who will behave the same way. Now, in chapter 23 of Psalms, verse 4, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Notice the words, even though I walk through the darkest valley. Great leadership knows that they take away fear from people because they know they're going to be around them. They know they're going to help them. They know that they're there to guide them. Now, notice where it says that He does not create a path for you. He assures you with every step you take. Leadership means standing with your staff members, your children, your family, the people around you, and showing them how to go, not just go through the path, but assure them that you're going to be there to back them up when things are not at their best. Fact of the matter is, great leaders should take people to hard places so that they can find confidence, so that they can learn that even though they're faced with that, your rod and your staff, the discipline that is needed to redirect you is there. Make no mistake about it. The people you lead will have issues. David had a lot. And God knows that there will be a time where you're going to need a rod or the staff to pull them by the neck and bring them back in line. That's part of leadership. But more than that, it says He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Why does God do this? Why does God want you to prepare you before a table before you in the presence of your enemies? Well, let me tell you something. God does not just start with satisfying. God does not just lead you by guiding you. God prepares you. Make no mistake about it. Leaders have to be prepared. There are a number of things that leaders have to do in order to succeed as leaders. And they cannot be successful if they're not prepared. This picture here was taken many years ago. This was when I had more hair. And that's my wife and I when we were much younger. And I still didn't just wear a dark blue t-shirt every day. And this was my staff. What's interesting about this picture is some of these people have now become missionaries to the Middle East. Some of them have become missionaries to senior pastors, leaders in Florida. I'm looking over here. I'm just looking at this picture. Some of them have become global communications directors. They become wives. They become all sorts of successful people. They were prepared. I don't want to take credit for it. It was an entire group of people that prepared them. But the point is this. Leaders need to be prepared. That's you and that's me. And the best way to prepare it is what God does. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies because God wants you to learn confidence while He's with you. There is something that builds confidence slowly. When you train leaders the same way that David was trained by God to fight bears and lions in the field while he was there, he was gaining confidence. Because truth of the matter is, Philistines are more dangerous. Philistine armies are more dangerous than bears and lions. But God was there to train him while he was young. He was building his confidence. He was showing them, but while I'm here with you, you need to learn that I'm preparing a table before you. Now, some people preach this and think it's about envying, showing people to make people to envy you. That wasn't the point. God was preparing David and showing him in the presence of your enemies, I can make things happen for you. More than that, I anoint your head with oil. What that means is this. God prepares you in the presence of your enemies, and He anoints you. David was anointed in front of his brothers because more than just confidence, a leader needs to have purpose. That's what anointing is, a setting apart. It's God calling you and God calling me and you saying to others, This is who you are. I used to tell my children that every day. This is who you are. You have a purpose in life. You have a destiny that God created for you. And without that, you will not be a very good leader. You will not be prepared because you're just going to be doing things for the sake of doing them without any purpose. Confidence and purpose are things that are prepared over time, over seasons. They don't happen overnight. But anointing is not just confidence and purpose. It also is power. When someone is anointed, someone is given authority and power and declared, you now have the authority. You now have the confidence. You now have the purpose. You now have the ability to lead. When somebody does not have confidence, purpose, and power, that leader is a lame duck. A term that means you may have the position. A lame duck president is somebody who has the position but doesn't have the confidence, the power, and most of all, the ascendancy, because there is no purpose other than more of what he wants. That was Saul, and the difference between Saul and David was simply that. David had confidence, David had purpose, and David had the power that was given to him by God. The final pieces of preparation is found in Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice the words of David, surely. Surely, it's not maybe. No, surely. Good leaders assure their followers. Good leaders make their followers be confident and be sure that this is maybe hard for now. It may be difficult. It may be chaotic for now. But if I follow well, surely goodness and love will follow me, not partially, all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord, not just here, but forever. Life's going to be good. God prepares you by preparing a table before you in the presence of his enemies. He anoints you, he empowers you, he gives you the confidence, the purpose, and the power. More importantly, he assures you, you're doing well. You're fine. Keep going. Let me summarize this for you. God starts with satisfying you, a very different, counterintuitive way of leading people. He forgives our inadequacies. He overlooks them. He knows our issues, but he has a way of overlooking them without necessarily not telling us or developing us. He makes us whole. He nourishes us completely. But more than that, he leads us by guiding us. He guides us rightly. He creates a path that he literally carves out for you. He assures you every step of the way. And then he prepares you, gives you the confidence, gives you the purpose and the power. And finally, he assures you, you're going to be well. The flag of Israel is bearing the Star of David. Thousands of years later, the leadership of this man is being revered. Why? Because he knew how to follow a great leader. Great leaders start as great followers. When you follow the right leader, who is God, you will become a great leader yourself. Let me close this segment of meditating on proclaiming on the Word of God. I want to ask you to pick up a piece of bread and a cup as we proclaim Jesus, the ultimate leader. And let me pray this with you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for leading us through the best and the worst of seasons, through challenges and victories. We recognize your hand that continues to satisfy our needs and deepest longings. No one leads like you. More than just satisfying our needs, you lead us by guiding us to paths you've carved out for us. More than that, you assure us of every step of the way and go about preparing us in the presence of our enemies. You give us confidence, purpose, and power. And in your name, Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.